What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And the Fantasy playoffs are upon us now. I mean, about, 36 hours from now, the Fantasy playoffs will have officially started. We will have had a Thursday night game in the books. Mm-hmm. Week 14 will be underway. So this is it. This is the stretch run, literally.
This is a big Thursday nighter for me, too.
Yeah, I mean, for you, definitely. Cowboys and Bears.
I know. Yep. I got a jersey wager with Seth Rollins for this one, because he's a big Bears fan.
Are the Bears still in playoff contention?
They are, technically. Technically.
Yeah.
They're crap, just like the Cowboys are.
Well, the good news is the Eagles are crap, too, so...
I mean, we lost to the Jets. They lost to the Dolphins. Nobody wants to win the NFC East. To me, nobody should even get in from that division. Whoever's got the best record outside of the NFC East, give it to them.
I mean, right
now. Not going to happen, but whatever.
No, and right now, the Cowboys would host the first round game.
It's a joke. And get crushed.
Like the Niners potentially would have to go on the road to Dallas. Wow.
And as a Niners fan, you would love the hell out of that.
I mean, I don't want them to go on the road.
What do you care? They're going to kill the Cowboys.
Yeah, but I'd rather have them have it at home at the home field non-advantage that Levi's Stadium is.
Jerry Jones's home turf is not much of an advantage either. We've seen that.
You know, it's sort of. I feel like the Levi's Stadium is sort of like, if you follow college football, you know, during the Red River rivalry that they play at the Cotton Bowl, right? Like the Texas State Fair is going on, so like, you know, when one team's getting drilled, their fans just leave and go to the State Fair. Like Levi's Stadium, I feel sort of the same way, because you've got Great America, like a big amusement park, like literally right next door. Like I feel like if your team's getting drilled, you should just get like free admission to Great America so you can ride some roller coasters or something.
The stadium is how far from San Francisco?
Santa Clara is a solid mileage-wise, probably about 30 miles. Time-wise, it's like an hour and a half. Like it's not easy.
Sounds like LA. I've been there once. I was there for WrestleMania.
Yeah. Okay.
It's actually a pretty cool stadium.
No, it looks. Yeah.
It is. Okay, according to Google Maps, it is 45 miles. But
wow.
As we are recording during rush hour at 8:20 in the morning Pacific time, it currently will take you an hour and a half to drive that far,
man,
from Santa Clara to San Francisco.
This is where we're at with American sports teams.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. There you go. We got plenty to talk about today. There's a lot of news today, so we'll get to that. Of course, we'll have our fantasy playoff primer, some of the guys who have the best schedules, worst schedules, plus, you know, some guys that maybe have sort of in-between schedules that either you'd be interested in maybe giving a shot during the playoffs, or guys that maybe are big names whose schedules aren't great that you might want to avoid. So we'll do that. Plus, one more round of drop or not, because, you know, they're guys that are questionable. Maybe you don't need them on your roster right now, so we'll talk about a few of those as well. But before we do that, let's go behind the glass, talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
I'm just glad there's absolutely zero Giants news today. I could just keep going through this show without worrying about any weirdness happening. It's great. Very, very fun.
I mean, there isn't any news. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is. You're going to lose to Philadelphia. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I'm rooting for you.
Fingers crossed.
I mean, Cowboy and Giant fan unite right now.
You guys
have a common cause at the moment.
You say this, but we all know Eli's going to come out and just dice up the Eagles.
No, he's not.
So, well, that seems like a pretty good segue. Let's do some news.
Through the news.
All right, so we've been hinting at it. You probably know by now, but Eli Manning is back in our lives because former quarterbacks getting their gigs back is all the rage now across the National Football League. I mean, we saw it with Andy Dalton. Who else?
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew has come back to our lives. And so now Eli Manning is likely back. And is it official that Daniel Jones is out?
It's looking very
it's
likely.
It's trending that way.
Pat Shurmur said it's the same similar injury that Saquon had, so he might not be. We might not see Daniel Jones for the rest of the year.
He might be done for the year because, you know, Saquon came back quickly.
Right.
I
don't think Daniel Jones has the same athletic.
Probably not. I don't think he squats like 1,000 pounds or whatever like Saquon does.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that I don't know that the Giants, who are out of the playoff race, are all that interested in rushing their rookie quarterback back. For no apparent reason. So you're right. Daniel Jones very well could be done. But in the meantime, it means Eli Manning is back again. First question. Against the Eagles, would you even entertain
No, he's been awful in Philadelphia in his career. 15 starts, 20 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. In the last five games against Philadelphia, their defense has averaged 12 fantasy points per game. So if you were starting the Eagles defense with Daniel Jones, I would continue to start the Eagles defense with Eli Manning going again.
Yeah, but Fabs, Eli's had the whole year to rest, prepare. Come on.
No.
Okay.
You know why he got benched in the first place? Because he's not good anymore. Although I would probably start Odell Beckham Jr. with more confidence if Eli Manning were thrown.
Well, I'm sure a lot of us would. But, I mean, let's talk about the peripheral pieces, right? Because I think that is of more importance. I mean, any of those guys for you, Graham, have any more value, any more excitement now that Eli Manning's back under center?
No, not really. I like Daniel Jones. I think he'll have a fine career.
He's just got to cut the turnover.
Yeah, but the turnover's the biggest thing. I mean, he's just absolutely murdered some Giants drives with just really bad turnovers. Maybe Eli will be a little bit better in that facet, but I can't say with confidence that he'll be much, much better.
Yeah, you also have to keep in mind, too. So, like, you know, people are going to look at last week and think, well, the Eagles' defense is vulnerable because they just got crushed by Ryan Fitzpatrick. That defense is different at home.
Well, that was
in fact, they're giving up. It's ridiculous. They're giving up 12 fewer fantasy points to quarterbacks at home as opposed to on the road. And it's been like that. I mean, Tom Brady, like, they are a tough defense on their home field. They're crap on the road. At home, they're tough.
Well, the splits speak for themselves, but also, I mean, that Eagles defense performance last week in Miami was legitimately the worst defensive performance I've seen.
Yeah, they were bad.
All year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just absolutely terrible. It's like when you have a four-man rush and you just keep relying on your cornerbacks to stop the pass and they continue to get burnt. It's like maybe you need to change a few.
Yeah, maybe
things
you need to switch some things up. Yeah. Not great. Gardner Minshew, it's official now. He is back as the starting quarterback this week. Earlier in the week, Doug Marrone had said he wanted to talk to his two quarterbacks before he officially announced a starter. I think we all sort of knew what this decision was going to be. So Gardner Minshew's back. I know we talked about him earlier in the week, so we are sort of excited that hopefully, you know, DJ Chark, DD Westbrook, all those guys can prosper against the Chargers. So
that's bad though.
It's not great.
The Chargers are tough against the pass, man. I mean, I wouldn't be putting Gardner Minshew in my starting lineup for the fantasy playoffs against the Chargers. And in fact, you know, D.D. Westbrook had that big game last week.
Right.
Don't know if I trust him. Hell, at this point, can you trust D.J. Chark?
That was going to be my question, is what do we do with D.J. Chark this week? Because three of his last four games, he's busted.
Yeah.
Chargers are very good on the boundary, but they just got completely roasted by Cortland Sutton. And I think D.J. Chark is kind of in a similar talent conversation as Sutton. So I think DJ Chark is like...
Problem is, though, the Jaguars have other options.
Right.
Like, they
That's
have DD,
point.
They have Connelly. Yep. I mean, if you're not throwing the ball to Sutton, you're throwing it to, you know, Deshaun and Patrick and Fant.
And last week was a DD Westbrook week. I mean,
exactly. So I have Chark in one league, and I'm not playing him. I mean, I have depth. I have Galladay. I'm going to start him and against Minnesota, and then I'm going to go with Chris Godwin, which is obvious.
Is random. Is DJ Chark going to – we're going to look back at the season and be like the – you know, I don't even know how to describe it. But he was the guy that early in the season, you didn't play him because you just weren't sure if he could keep it up. Plus, you probably had other really good receivers on your roster.
Right.
So you didn't take advantage early, right? Then maybe midseason, you sort of bought in. You started starting DJ Chark. Now, we're at the end of the season. The schedule, I mean, look, this week – actually, weeks 15 and 16
it's
are pretty
amazing.
Good for him.
Yeah.
But he's just kind of that guy that, like – how many people actually took full advantage of the DJ Chark season this year?
Someone way smarter than me. That's for sure. He scored like a million touchdowns in the first month of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, lately. And he was also a player because the schedule is so favorable in the fantasy playoffs for the Jaguars that like a lot of people were trying to trade for
right.
it.
Right.
So, but I mean, last week, and as you mentioned, I mean, he's been disappointing lately. So.
We might be buying low in Chark after this week with Raiders Falcons next in weeks 15 and 16.
Yeah. But this week, I feel like if you have depth at wide receiver, sure. You could fade him.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's see. Elsewhere, Frank Reich says he is, quote, hopeful T.Y. Hilton can return this season. That doesn't sound good, Fab.
No,
that does
not
sound encouraging at all for T.Y. Hilton, especially on a team where, you know, I think I made the joke last night with somebody that, you know, Colts wide receivers are like Spinal Tap drummers, man. They just keep going down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, well, I mean, that's good news if you pick up Jack Doyle off the waiver wire because he was phenomenal. And with T.Y. unlikely this week, listen, I get it. Zach Pascal is not the most reliable dude in the National Football League. He's got Tampa, though, this week. You could do worse if you're really hurting at a flex in a deeper league. The matchup's really, really good. And, I mean, target share. Like, I mean, he's going to get targets.
Right.
Jack Doyle's going to get targets. I don't know what the status of Marlon Mack is at this point. Maybe he's able to come back this week. We'll see. But there's not a lot to like for the Colts. But I do think you can start Pascal in a pinch, and Doyle's an obvious start.
I'm a little worried that if T.Y. doesn't play this week, that they're just going to shut him down, because the Colts right now are two games back from the Texans in the AFC South. The Titans have a leg up on them now. And if they lose this week against the Bucs, which is foreseeable, there's really – it'd be a very tough path for them to make the 5 or 6 seed in the AFC wildcard race. So I T.Y. Hilton, when he originally had this injury in practice a few weeks ago, he said he was worried his season was going to get shut down after the injury. And it sounds like we might not see Hilton this year, which isn't great, man. I mean, I feel bad for Jacoby Brissett. Not only is Hilton out, I mean, Devin Funchess has missed the whole year. Paris Campbell broke his hand. They're going to try to get him back. Like, Eric Ebron's on IR. He just lost all of his guys.
And you may look at this matchup this week and think, wait a minute, maybe I can play Brissett against the Bucs. I wouldn't do it.
The last couple of weeks,
they have been rough
on quarterbacks. I mean, they basically sent Nick Foles to the bench. They destroyed Matt Ryan the week before that. So they have toughened up on quarterbacks.
Yeah, they have. No question about that. And Brissett's out of, he's out of reliable options outside of Doyle and I guess Pascal. You look at his last three games. I mean, he hasn't finished better than 16th in fantasy points. And he's been top four. He was top four once. And he had the good game against the Raiders, and he was 20th against Kansas City. Since then, he's been unstartable.
Yeah, it's been look, he's done, I think, well considering the circumstances he's been placed in. But the last few weeks, fantasy wise, it's just been a rough go.
And I don't know that he's 100% either.
Probably not. Julio Jones is reportedly trending upward as he deals with a shoulder injury for Week 14. I mean, look, if Julio is playing, I can't make a credible case for you putting him on the bench really in any circumstance. Mm-hmm. But, I know we go through these whole, narratives and how much they're true or not, but Julio Jones hasn't scored a touchdown since week 3.
Here we go again.
It's been a while. So I feel like the Julio Jones doesn't score touchdowns narrative is going to start popping back into our lives.
Oh, my God. Well, he owns the Panthers at least.
Yeah.
He owns the Panthers. I mean, he's had just some monster games in his career against the Panthers, and their boundary corners just have no chance at slowing Julio down when he's out there. You're right, he hasn't scored, but when he's played this year, I mean, he's still been the same.
He's still putting up big numbers.
The yardage has been there. I mean, he's gone over 60 yards, I think in 6 straight games, something like that.
Yeah. So,
And you know what, too? The last time Calvin Ridley played against the Panthers, he was pretty good.
Yeah, so, look, that's all there is about Julio. If he's playing, you're starting him. Andy Reid says there's, quote, a good chance that Darrell Williams misses Week 14. I don't even know what to say about this Chiefs backfield anymore,
I know.
Right? Like, LeSean McCoy is just not startable, even though he's scored touchdowns in back-to-back weeks, but he's not on the field enough. He's not getting the ball enough to trust him. The Williamses have just been, like, I don't know. Well, Darwin Thompson or bust? I mean, what are we doing here?
I'm not playing. They're playing the Patriots, man. The Patriots are tough against the run. So now I'm fading all the Chiefs running backs this week.
The Chiefs, yes, the Patriots are tough against the run, but the Chiefs in years past have used their running backs very well in the passing game against the Patriots to kind of counteract some of the things the Patriots do. Kareem Hunt had a fantastic game as a receiver against the Chiefs 2 years ago, and Damian Williams had a good game last year. I wonder if they're going to get Darwin Thompson involved in their passing game, because Damian Williams might not play. I'm not entirely sure what's going on with his ribs injury. I wonder if they're going to get Thompson involved in the passing game, because like you mentioned, Marcus, they just continue to not use LeSean McCoy whatsoever.
I guess that
just
speaks to
he's old.
That he's just,
I mean, it's
just not, the end.
It's just the facts.
The running back who should smash in this game is James White. Kansas City's given up the most scrimmage yards, the most fantasy points to running backs this season. Tom Brady does not have very many people in that offense that he trusts right now outside of Edelman and James White. So White is a great play this week. But yeah, Kansas City's a fade for me in that backfield.
I mean, at this point, when it comes to the Patriots, it's James White, it's Julian Edelman. That's kind of it, right?
That's it, man.
That's kind of it.
Do they even have a kicker?
They cut Kai Forbath.
I know.
I don't know if they have signed someone.
No, I don't think they have.
Who's available?
Is their deal just to like sign a kicker, cut him? They've done that how many times now? Right? They did it with Folk. They did it with Nugent, and now with Forbath.
Can Brady kick?
I don't know. Maybe they just go for 2-point conversions the rest of the season.
I mean, look, actually, I wouldn't put it past Belichick to just go on and do something like that.
Right? I mean, because their punter is their kicker on kickoff, so.
I mean, if we're really interested, like Chase McLaughlin is out there. Let's see.
Yeah, he just got cut.
Russ is a free agent. Yeah, I don't know, but whatever. Sebastian Janikowski still available.
Oh, my gosh.
Dalvin Cook had a clavicle injury on Monday night. He had also had a chest injury that he suffered a couple of weeks ago. Now, he says he's definitely going to play. I mean, Fab, this is just a simple. This is just a reminder. You mentioned this on Fantasy Live yesterday,
too. Yeah.
Just a reminder, if Alexander Mattison is available, go get him right now, as an insurance policy.
I don't care if Dalvin doesn't miss a snap the rest of the season. You still have to go out and get Madison just in case. Now, keep in mind, he's got the shoulder, but he also injured his chest against the Broncos. So he's dealing with two injuries. And any sort of re-aggravation of those injuries and that could potentially cause him to miss time. I mean, Alexander Mattison could be a league winner for you. Maybe he sits on your bench for the next 3 weeks. Okay, at least I'm insured. At least I know I've got the Vikings backfield, and Madison's a heck of a back, too. So I really think that considering Dalvin Cook, and I love Dalvin, but considering his lack of durability in his first 2 years in the NFL, it'd be foolish not to get Madison as a handcuff. Or even if you've got a dead spot in your roster and you're like, you know, I'm going to pick him up and see what happens.
I could actually see starting Madison this week because the Vikings are, I mean, they're double-digit home favorites over Detroit, who's going to be starting David Blau, you know, like.
Blau.
Dalvin Cook, there's a path where, like, if he's less than 100%, this Vikings team obviously has big playoff aspirations. Why would they risk?
They just sit him down in the third or fourth quarter.
Or not even that. Just give him, like, 10, 12 touches and just let Alex Madison ball out.
Yeah. Not inconceivable. The Bengals have activated John Ross off injured reserve. Like, on the surface, you're like, it's John Ross, whatever.
I know he was pretty good,
but he played really well early in the season before he got hurt. I mean, they're playing the Browns this week. The matchup is so-so. I mean, look, let's go deep league, flex, any interest?
I mean, since Dalton's back there, sure. I mean, Ross could always pop off for a big play, but, you know.
Who'd you rather have, though, Auden Tate or Ross?
On tape, for
sure.
So then,
there you go.
Yeah.
there you go.
Right. And this week, you know, obviously you're not going to feel comfortable starting. And then next week they play the Patriots. So you're just kind of burning a hole on your roster for 2 weeks, which I don't know I would like to do.
And I feel like people really need to really be keeping very close tabs on that. You know, in the playoffs, if you have a bye week, you should be looking to pick up players who are going to help you in week 15. If you're playing this week, not only should be obviously looking to pick up players who can help you this week, Look who your opponent needs. Like, I'm in a league where my opponent right now has Greg Olsen as a tight end, and I picked up Vance McDonald and Kyler Rudolph, and I don't need them because I have Zach Ertz. But I do not want my opponent to go out and get those guys. Same thing with the defense, too. I think one of my opponents that maybe has Carolina or something, I can't remember who it was. But I picked up the Packers. I picked up the Jets. Like, I don't want my opponent to get these players. So, and that's the same kind of thing, too. Like, you know, hey, if a guy like Madison is out there, even if you don't have Dalvin Cook, block somebody else from getting him.
All right. Every once in a while in this life, things that are beyond our control happen. But the upshot of those things happening is that it saves us from making decisions that would be harmful to ourselves.
What are you talking about?
In a related story, Kalen Ballage is on injured reserve.
Hey.
So, you know, for those of you who'd had that dilemma of, I have nothing at running back, I got to fill a slot at a flex maybe, Kalen Ballage is there, so you just plug him in. That worry has now been taken off your plate.
I still am blown away. We'll never see this again. Kalen Ballage he will go down as the first player and probably the only player in NFL history to have over 70 carries and average under 2 yards on those carries. His longest gain, I think I mentioned this like a couple months
yards,
ago.
Isn't it?
Still 8 yards. That's
wow.
Still his longest gain.
So basically, even being on injured reserve, he's not going to really average fewer yards.
I don't know if we've ever seen a player. I don't know if we've ever seen a player this just completely inefficient.
Awful.
Totally dud.
I saw his line from Sunday. 3 carries, no yards, 1 target, no receptions, no yards. I thought it was just a regular, and somebody's like, no, he got hurt. I'm like, oh. Okay. I mean, like, it could have just been a regular Kalen Ballage game. That's how it's been going for him this year. But now you don't have that headache. That worry has been taken care of. So it's Patrick Laird season.
Yeah.
I know you know, fantasy Twitter jokester and general good guy Peter Overzet has been praising the Laird for at least 3 weeks now.
They got Patrick Laird to come
I saw that. He was
Davis
on
Maddox podcast.
He was on a podcast. They got Patrick Laird on a video podcast. So shout out to those guys for doing that. But look, I mean, Laird, he's not a terrible play.
Well, yeah. the problem,
I mean,
the problem
I mean, you got to be hurting.
The Jets defense.
Really good against the run.
And then the following week, I think the matchup is bad for him as well. I'd have to go back and look at it.
The biggest issue is
scroll through really quickly.
Miami's not been able to run the ball at all year. And they, you know, they're going to play Myles Gaskin a little. They're going to play Zach Zinner a little, who they just picked off the street. I feel like this is like Zach Zinner's like 12th team this year.
Seriously,
yeah.
He's just kind of been the everyman.
So the Dolphins play two straight games at MetLife.
Oh yeah.
They're going to stay.
And then the Giants. I wonder if they're going to just stay up there,
stay in
right?
New York?
You know,
if you're a Florida team,
freezing,
though, I'd rather go back.
But, you know, you go to Rockefeller Center, do the ice skating thing, look at the tree, whatever, hang out. You know, whatever. Anyway, Kevin Balazs, he's done for this year. What happens to him? I'm just curiosity. Like, I mean,
practice squad dude, maybe.
Yeah, man, you want to talk about just a season that went nowhere? Anyway, before I put myself in a funk thinking about that, that's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right, the fantasy playoffs are officially upon us, so it's time to kind of do a primer for what we can expect or hope for, at least, over the next 3 weeks of the season. I know on Friday you guys will definitely get deeper into the individual matchups and sort of break some of those things down, but I wanted to kind of take a big overview of that, right? Looking at the best schedules, the worst schedules, I've got a section called Who'd You Rather, where I pick three guys at a position who have, okay schedules, but have the potential to maybe, excel. You can pick which one you would rather have. And then the guys who are the biggest playoff traps, who are big-name guys whose schedules aren't particularly great, who might potentially burn you, and which ones you guys might particularly want to avoid. So, let's start with the best schedules. Quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, Drew Lock, Baker Mayfield. I would think at least two of those three guys, you guys would be interested. I mean,
dude, I'm starting Tannehill over Drew Brees this week.
Yeah, I like that call. I like that call.
And I'm not thinking twice about it either.
Yeah. What situation would you have to find yourself in? Because Drew Lock's schedule is pretty good down the stretch. What scenario?
Two QB super flex.
Two QB.
That's it.
Sure.
All right, because they got the Texans this week, the Chiefs next week.
He averaged 5 yards an attempt last week.
Week 16.
He had a pick. I don't know. If it wasn't for Courtland Sutton, he wouldn't have had that big of a game. So yeah. I don't know. I didn't.
All right.
Yeah. I thought Lock played right. Yeah. Tough defense against the Chargers. That front seven's obviously really good too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, schedule is really nice.
Schedule's so nice, right? But it's funny. I was doing a radio hit with a radio station last night up in San Francisco, and they asked me about Ryan Tannehill, and I just said, who would have thought in the year of our Lord 2019 we'd be sitting here talking about Ryan Tannehill as your potential fantasy savior? But here we are.
I always say it, man. I won a championship with Matt Moore. I've also run through the playoffs with Billy Volek in the past. You know what they say, stuff happens.
Billy Volek
had a stretch. I don't remember what year it was. He was bananas. Like, at the end of the year, I think Steve McNair got hurt, and Volek came in, and he was sick good. And I just rolled through the playoffs with him.
I won a championship with Mark Sanchez back in 2014.
That is actually more impressive than either one of my two examples.
That was the year was with the Eagles. He actually had a decent
run.
He had a pretty decent
run. Well, he had that one year where he was a top 10 guy because he had like five or six rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Billy Volek, who was the quarterback at Fresno State before David Carr.
Interesting.
Yeah, he preceded David Carr in Fresno. Baker Mayfield, though, is another guy, too. Like, you want to talk about a kind of a rags-to-riches season for him? Because the beginning of the year, he was miserable. Yeah. And this is a guy that he was projected as, like, the QB5 or something like that overall, right? I mean, we were talking about him being like a stud this year. It went off the rails early.
Yeah, it did.
And now it's kind of coming back around again. I mean, say six out of his last eight games or so have been pretty good for Baker Mayfield. The schedule actually works out well. So Mayfield is a nice option. What's weird about it, though, is that while he's a pretty good option, somehow Odell Beckham just still has not shown up in our lives.
Is he the biggest bust in fantasy football this year?
OBJ? Maybe.
Maybe. Right? I mean, you got a couple of options right there.
He's the biggest bust.
David Johnson's going to be in that category as well.
Yeah.
Only because he got hurt. But then, I mean,
so here's the thing. I think
he's active every week.
I think DJ got hurt, but when he was playing,
he was very good.
A top 10 running
very
back.
Good, yes.
OBJ
yes.
at no point this year is a top 10 receiver.
I think the other guys in the category, if you put, you know, you put DJ in there, you put Juju in there, they all have mitigating circumstances, right?
Sure.
Like David Johnson got hurt, Juju lost his quarterback, and then he got hurt for a while.
Yep.
Odell has been healthy every week. He's been on the field every week, and he just has not performed.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will say, Baker in Week 15 against the Cardinals on the road, that game is going to go off. That game is going to be so, so good for fantasy. And if you've been like looking for a streamer, I think you could stash Mayfield just for that game because it's so good.
I've done that in the league, too. I stashed him because I got a bye this week. I got Wentz on that roster. I think I have Kyler on that roster. Now is the time where you hoard positions looking for matchups.
Man. Week 15, Browns Cardinals, because the schedule makers said so,
and because it's going to be a fantasy content.
That's it, man. That's who's watching that game.
Yeah.
Running back spot. There are three really good running backs that have really good playoff schedules: Philip Lindsay, Dalvin Cook, who we just talked about in the news section, David Montgomery. I'll start with Montgomery because he's the guy that I've been sort of touting. Like that's. I won't say I'm dying on that hill, but I certainly, you know, I've taken a few shots climbing up that hill because I kept waiting for the end of the season, that back half of the season when the Bears schedule opened up, when it got better, and hoping that Matt Nagy would just finally come to his senses and give Montgomery like a huge workload. That last part hasn't quite happened, but I'm not ready to let this go yet. I still think there is a pathway for David Montgomery to help you win a fantasy championship.
The Bears.
Yeah, he's been a solid RB2. I mean, he's got 15 or more touches in 6 straight games. I mean, it's not been
true.
It's not been amazing. It's not like he's averaging over 20 touches per game. But you know, the workload has been somewhat there, and he's their only guy that they get involved on the ground when they get in close inside the 10-yard line. So I mean, at least he has the red zone role locked down, and you know, a solid touch count. The schedule is amazing, though, man.
You got him against the Cowboys Thursday?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Flex?
Yeah. I'd give him a shot on Thursday. And then he's got the Packers, whose run defense hasn't been good, and then the Chiefs, whose run defense.
The only concern about these three games is, like, the Bears could get absolutely demolished. You know?
Yeah.
They could be down by a couple scores at any point in either of those three games, which it would just be all Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, that is always definitely the fear. But, man, just... I know. I think because a lot of us, myself included, came into the season with high hopes for David Montgomery. Like, that's one I'm just not willing to let go just yet. Philip Lindsay, who has a really good schedule. I know he's sort of been up and down the last few weeks.
Dude, I mean, I've been expecting so much more from him. I mean, his numbers have not been great, and the schedule has been... I mean, his last few weeks, the matchups have been great.
Right.
To no avail.
Yeah, I mean, he was just average against the Bills a couple weeks ago. He was just average against the Chargers last week. He's got the Chiefs in Week 15. And look, that's another one, too, where if Drew Lock can't really hold up his end of the bargain, the Broncos could find themselves down big, and maybe Lindsay sort of gets X'd out in that one. Move on to wide receivers. So I put T.Y. Hilton here. I probably should just put wide receiver Colts because we don't really know who it's going to be. I just put T.Y. Hilton because ostensibly he is the wide receiver one whenever he's healthy and back on the field. But, man, I mean, that schedule – in the fantasy playoffs for Indianapolis, it's so good. I mean, you've got the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Saints, the Panthers, though, vulnerable. I mean, this is a really good schedule.
Doyle.
I know.
Doyle.
I mean, he's it, right? Like, there's really nobody else that we can trust. I mean,
everyone.
Again, Pascal's a guy that I'm starting if I need a flex
salty
this week.
About Zach Pascal.
I am too. I am too. Because it seems like every time no one expects anything from him, boom. And then when we sort of get behind him a little bit, bust.
Just go play everybody's favorite plumber, Jack Doyle, and be
happy.
Be happy about it.
Just go and prosper there. Kenny Golladay, who I know we all... So, story. On Thanksgiving, my dad was at my place, and we're sitting there watching the games in the morning, and, you know, he's not a fantasy football player. He really didn't know much about it until I got this job. We're sitting there, we're watching Kenny Golladay, you know, catch a long pass for a touchdown, and catch a couple other passes in the middle of the Bears' defense, and he's like, so everybody started Kenny Golladay on their teams this week, right? And I'm like,
oh, God.
Nobody started Kenny Golladay because the Lions were starting their third-string quarterback that nobody believed in.
Against the Bears.
Against the Bears. But Kenny Golladay, whether it's been Jeff Driskel, now with David Blau, he's found a way to sort of eke out some production here. And, like, the schedule's good.
And
so,
now he's got Minnesota this week.
Right.
And, I mean, so, Xavier Rhodes. Oh boy.
So we gotta buy in, right?
I got to play him.
We got to buy in.
I got to play him.
I'm into it, too. I mean, I think you can play Marvin Jones this week as well.
Like, right.
Like we said, if the Lions get behind in this game, they're just going to throw the. Yep. They're going to have to throw the ball a ton, and the volume will be there for these two guys.
So I will say this: I really like the Vikings' defense this week because this is Blau's first NFL start on the road. Big difference when you're in a loud, you know, they always say the hostile environment kind of place. I really like the Vikings' defense though, but yeah, I think game scream could really help Golladay. And I mean, you know, we talked about third string quarterbacks, man. Don't underestimate him.
Yeah, but I will say Blau got real hot to start that game on Thursday.
And then he cooled down.
Nothing happening.
Yeah.
The last one here is Tyler Lockett, and on paper, it seems great for him. Just the last 2 weeks, he has been missing in action.
Yeah, he has.
Zero catches on Monday night. The week before.
Imagine if you're like, you have Tyler Lockett, you're down like a point or two.
A point.
And you're thinking, I'm in.
I'm fine.
And you lose.
I'm fine.
Imagine that.
It'll be all right.
That guarantee it happened.
In fact, in the last 3 weeks, Tyler Lockett has a grand total of 4 catches for 64 yards.
Why?
Don't remind
me. Is he hurt? Like, I mean, well, what's the deal here?
He had that leg contusion. He was a really bad bruise, it sounded like, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
It was after the Niner game.
It was after the Niner game. Then they had their bye. Then he came out against the Eagles and busted. And for what it's worth, I mean, the Eagles secondary, I know, just got roasted by Devontae Parker, but Lockett primarily plays out of the slot, and the Eagles slot coverage has gotten a lot better. This past week, I think I read where Lockett said he had the flu or something like that.
Yeah, there was a bunch of Seahawks that I feel like had,
so maybe
going around.
Maybe it was that, but man, Lockett has probably put so many people in the consolation bracket with his, you know, with his performances over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, I don't want to give up on him, but and if I had people in my mentions like saying, should I be worried? What should I do? I'm like, I can't go away from Tyler Lockett because he's been too good, but I know I understand the fear. I understand where you are with that. Tight end, this part made me sad when I was building this rundown because, like, I was looking at the schedules for the tight end position and who had the best ones, who had the worst ones. And you look at the teams with the best tight end schedules, you got the Bears.
The Bears.
Who don't essentially have a tight end anymore.
Exactly.
I put Jesper Horsted on the list because why not? You know, you have the Seahawks, and Jacob Hollister actually has been a nice find for the last few weeks.
And he's got Arizona in championship week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he does. And then you've got the Texans, who are running some weird Darren Fells, Jordan Akins hybrid monster that isn't really doing anybody any good. This just made me, like, this is just wasted, right? You even go further down the list, right? The fourth best schedule, it's the Lions. They just put T.J. Hockenson on reserve.
Exactly.
Fifth is the Browns, which I guess.
Well, dude, I mean,
Joku's back, right?
He's healthy.
They're trying to get him back. I don't know what's going on.
They're
with
week 15, right? They play the Cardinals, so like we mentioned. So I mean, like, if you have a bye this week and your tight end is kind of sketchy, like, throw a dart at Njoku.
I wonder if he's still not 100% because it sounded like 2 weeks ago they were going to get him back, and then they've held him out for the last 2 weeks.
Everything I've read has said that he's healthy. They just didn't play him. I don't know why. So
I mean, just I'm going through the rest of the top 10 easiest schedules for the playoffs. Right, 6 Cardinals. They don't have a tight end. I mean, 7 you got Greg Olsen.
Have they ever?
Not. But Johnny McWilliams back in the
I think like Freddie Jones may have been their last like fantasy relevant tight end, and he wasn't even really all that.
So great. 7, okay, you got the Panthers and Greg Olsen. Okay, that's
fine. Well, Greg Olsen's also been
if he's healthy.
Ian Thomas could end up being a nice little sleeper for people if Olsen misses any time.
8 is the Packers, and you know, Jimmy Graham is, I mean, I don't know, he retired in like
week two or three,
right?
Yeah, he's toast.
9, you got the Broncos, so you got Noah Fant potentially to clocking in there. And then 10, you have Kyle Rudolph and the Vikings. But, man, it's just just wasted, man. Just wasted opportunities at the tight end position,
yep.
which sort of is fitting with the way the position has sort of gone this year. Yeah.
Jimmy Graham's just—he's just out there exercising. Like, I mean, I've not heard Jimmy Graham's name in months. He's just out there hanging.
The matchup is actually pretty good this week. I wouldn't touch him with a 39.5-foot pole.
Man,
what? I mean, it's just—he's just not even. Not even relevant.
Just not even relevant. Like, it's funny. I see him, like, I scroll through the list of you know, the tight end scoring leaders, and I get down to the bottom of the first page, and I'm like, oh yeah, Jimmy Graham.
I remember you.
Ah, man, those were the days.
He's what Rob Gronkowski would be if he came back.
Kind of.
That's what I
think. No, I think Gronk might actually be better.
I don't know,
Gronk
man.
Would probably be better.
Gronk wasn't that good
Plus,
that season.
At least Gronk could block. Jimmy Graham not known for his blocking ability.
That's for sure.
All right, let's flip to the worst schedules in the fantasy playoffs. Quarterback, Patrick Mahomes does not have a great schedule. And I know we talked on Monday about him sort of underwhelming in a lot of respects from where he was last year. The schedule is not great. And part of this is, you know, for the Chiefs, the downside of being so good last year is that you get a slightly tougher schedule the following season. And I think it's sort of rearing its ugly head. They got the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Bears through the fantasy playoffs. This will test your mettle. How much do you believe in Patrick Mahomes versus maybe trying to go out there and play the market a little bit for the next few weeks?
I'm probably going down with my stud, man.
I wouldn't, but you know, you'll get questions of, you know, should I start Mahomes or blank?
Oh, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did. And I mean, he hasn't been like superhuman lately.
I've gotten way too many questions about Mahomes this week, and I mean, unless you have Lamar,
I can't,
or maybe Dak. You can't do it. I mean, Mahomes, look, Patriots defense is amazing, but Mahomes has averaged over 9 yards per attempt in his two prior meetings against the Patriots. Mm-hmm.
The record isn't, you know, he doesn't have a winning record against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. He's played well.
It hasn't had to do with him.
Yeah.
He's gone out and played really well in those games.
Can we also talk about quickly the Patriots defense and how it's completely fallen off an absolute cliff?
That was somewhat
because the opponents have been
the opponents have gotten better.
So I would tell people this. As good as the Patriots defense has been, and it's been far and away the best fantasy defense, don't get lazy. You can't play them against Kansas City. You can't do it. Next week, I believe they have the Bengals, and then you throw them back in your lineup, assuming you're still alive. Don't get lazy with this. Pick up the Packers. Pick up the Eagles. Pick up the Jets. Pick up the Browns. You can't start the Patriots this week.
So, which begs an interesting question. Week 16, right? The Patriots and the Bills play. Now, early in the season, week four, when they played, the Patriots did a pretty good job of shutting down Josh Allen.
And then he got hurt in that one, right? I think he did get hurt in that game.
Yeah, because Matt Barkley did come in to play mm-hmm. in that one. But two of their more disappointing performances have been against mobile quarterbacks, right? They got shredded by Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
They had a really tough time with Deshaun Watson.
That Patrick Mahomes guy, he's pretty mobile.
He can move around a little bit too. Would you at least think twice about them in Week 16 against a healthy Josh Allen, especially in a game that will definitely mean something for the Bills at this point?
Oh my gosh, yeah, the Bills are 9-3, looking really good. Yeah,
that game's going to mean a lot for the Bills.
There's a chance the Bills could win the AFC East. I don't know that it's.
I mean, it's
happen.
A small chance, but it's not impossible.
They've got the Ravens and the Patriots on their schedule.
The Patriots could. I mean, the Patriots could very well lose to the Chiefs this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the conversation.
Real quick, the other one. So Josh Allen's a guy that, you know, I know we liked in the back half of the schedule. He is definitely he's a pick your spots guy, I think, at this point. Jared Goff has a bad schedule and is struggling. We can
caught him.
Write him off.
I said that on TV yesterday, especially if you have a bye. He's got the Cowboys in week 15 and he's got the Niners in week 16. No, thank you. Pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick, pick up Tannehill, see if Baker's out there. You know, Goff, dude, it was the Cardinals, man. It's like the same thing about, you know, Mitchell Trubisky's been playing so much better. He had two games against the Lions. They're terrible.
Right.
You got to look at the opponent.
He's not playing all that. I'm not buying
no
Trubisky
way.
Just yet. Yeah. Running backs. Devin Singletary has maybe the worst schedule for the fantasy playoffs.
And Josh Allen will not let him score touchdowns.
Will not let him score touchdowns. And if it's not Josh Allen, it's Frank Gore.
Right. And Singletary scored against the Cowboys
on a trick pass
from John Brown.
Yes.
So,
trick play.
I don't like Singletary as more than a flex this week. The matchup, clearly not that great against Baltimore.
I put Bo Scarborough here. I could have just put RB Lions.
Yeah.
Scarborough's been... whatever. He's been adequate, I guess, at best, but he has not been good enough that I would chance him against a bad schedule.
He's LeGarrette Blunt, and he doesn't score touchdowns. So, I mean, that's kind of
And he doesn't hurdle people. So, yeah. I mean, what are we even doing here? The third name, though, is an interesting one because Alvin Kamara and the Saints do They have a tough schedule, but at the same time, you're like, you know he's going to be so much in the mix. But they've got the Niners, they've got the Colts, they've got the Titans in the fantasy playoffs. That's not great, but it's just hard to completely go away from Alvin Kamara because you know they're going to run so much of their offense through him.
Please, please help me, guys. The touchdowns are coming, right? They have to be. They have to be.
I mean, it's week 14.
They have to be coming. I mean, we're running on a seven or eight game stretch with no touchdowns.
He has two all season.
And they came in the same game.
Ugh.
They both came. Both of those touchdowns came in the same game against the Seahawks. So he has scored zero touchdowns in 9 of 10 games this year, which is just that's insane to think.
Meanwhile, Taysom Hill's out here running around, scoring touchdowns and catching passes.
Don't remind me.
Sean Payton hates our fantasy teams.
Oh my God, that was the most tilting Thanksgiving Thursday night game.
I truly believe. Look, obviously, most NFL coaches don't care what we do. They don't listen to our podcast. I would, if somebody told me that Sean Payton listens to fantasy podcasts and
despite us
and revels in the fact that we groan about Taysom Hill, like I would 100% believe that. I would 100% believe that Sean Payton's like, what? They hate Taysom Hill. You know what? Put him in there at the goal line. Let's go. You know, like I would believe that. So Kamara's just, it's a big name in a bad spot. That's just hard to sort of go away from. Wide receiver. Kind of a similar situation. Three guys of note that don't have great schedules. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Allen Robinson. You got Julian Edelman. I would think of those three, Edelman is maybe the easiest to fade because you're probably using him as sort of a wide receiver two flex option anyway. But Tyreek Hill and Allen Robinson, man, those guys are just target hogs right now. And like I feel like Robinson especially, like I can't put him on my bench because even in the worst of situations, Mitch Trubisky finds out how to get him the football.
Yeah. Cowboys are tough against number one wide receivers this season. So I mean, yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I mean, Robinson's probably still in your lineup, but you know there have been games where he's disappeared. We've seen that. We saw it against the Rams. So a guy who's obviously going to get the targets. Matchups are not great though.
Tyreek Hill's got the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Bears.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm playing.
Yeah. I mean. Right.
The Bears just got crunched by Galladay.
I mean, even if Tyreek gets like five targets, like some of the, I mean, just things he can do with
he needs one big play and it's big stat line.
Okay. So just to play devil's advocate though, that game, it's week 16. It's in Chicago on the lake where it could very well be snowing and windy.
True.
Okay. Hey, we've seen.
Patrick Mahomes, we're still starting, right?
Throw footballs through guys that went through the wall, right? Yeah. In the commercial, like I don't know.
So I don't know. Just something to kind of tickle your fancy there. Worst schedules for tight end. So remember, I just lamented about how like there are no decent tight ends with good schedules. There are three decent tight ends with really bad schedules here, right? Austin Hooper arguably has the worst on a Falcons team that is going nowhere. Mark Andrews, who's been Lamar Jackson's number one receiver all year long, has maybe the second worst schedule. And then Mike Gesicki, who's come to life the last few weeks, has maybe the third worst schedule. Why do the fantasy gods hate us? Why is this a thing?
Yeah, I don't know what to do with Mark Andrews this week because the Bills are so good against tight ends. I mean, last year they're holding tight ends to the fewest fantasy points. This year they've done the same thing. Like, you know, Mark Andrews is awesome. And when Lamar Jackson throws, he only has eyes for either Andrews or Marquise Brown.
Yep.
I mean... If you have Jack Doyle, like I would play Jack Doyle over Mark Andrews this week. I think that's an interesting 1v1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so. I absolutely would. But man, just like I don't. Why is this happening to us? Why are the good tight ends with bad schedules? Right. I mean, George Kittle has the fifth hardest schedule. Jared Cook has the sixth hardest. Ryan Griffin, who has become a fan favorite lately, has the seventh hardest. Darren Waller, the eighth. Zach Ertz, the ninth. I mean,
although Griffin does have a good matchup this week.
He does have a good matchup this week. Although, they're playing the
Dolphins. I mean, he had, 11 points against them earlier in the season. So,
yeah.
So I still think he's playable. But I mean, with the tight ends, the position's been, although I will say this, maybe you guys disagree with me, it's gotten a little bit deeper lately. It's because Doyle's now become a thing.
It has.
Dallas Goedert's been pretty good. Jacob Hollister's now a thing. So it's gotten a little bit deeper. Jared Cook's been really good, although this matchup against San Francisco is not the best in the world. So
and we've been able
Kyle
to use,
Rudolph's been awesome.
We've been able to use Rams tight ends from time to time, too.
Yeah. So, also, I mean, so you got to sort of like massage it and play with it a little bit. But, I mean, if you got a stud tight end I mean, it's hard. I mean, Jack Doyle could be the exception to the rule. It's really hard to sit those guys
there. There's also been a thing called Caden Smith for the last couple of weeks.
I know. Huh. Right, yeah, in New York. I don't know when Evan's coming back. I don't know. At this point, I have Evan in a bunch of leagues. I don't even know if I want to keep him anymore because I don't know if he's coming back.
I don't know he's coming back, and you don't know if you know if the Giants are going to rush him back, if they're going to make a point to bring
him back. There's no reason. There's no reason to rush him back.
Not really. All right. Let's do some who'd you rather, right? Guys who are, you know, have decent schedules, maybe not in the top three or four, but they're decent schedules, guys that you might consider. So given the choice between the three, Jimmy Garoppolo, who has the sixth easiest schedule, Gardner Minshew, who has the seventh easiest schedule, or Devlin Hodges, who has the 13th easiest schedule. Of those three, which would be the one you'd be most likely to ride with?
I guess I would say Gardner, just because he can scramble and move around with the ball. And the 49ers, we know Kyle Shanahan just wants to run the ball. I think Gardner's the most fun out of all those guys. I mean, at least he can move with the ball in his hands.
So I guess my question, though, is this is a little deceiving because it still has the Saints as being like a good matchup, and it's not really a good matchup. Like, I don't really like Garoppolo this week. And then, you know, Atlanta's a great matchup, and then he's got the Rams. So I don't know
if it's that great of a schedule anyway.
I don't know how good his schedule actually is. The Saints, the first 3 weeks when QBs crushed them,
they were a good match.
Completely screwed up the Saints and what they've done lately. It's still in there. It's sort of baked in there still, but I don't know that that's a great matchup for him this week.
I'm with you on that, but I mean.
Atlanta's really good. Marcus, that's a good matchup.
You brought up the Jags schedule. We were talking DJ Chark earlier. I'm very into this. Oakland and Atlanta is just too amazing.
Right. Like this week, you don't want Minshew.
Yeah.
I mean, at least I don't. Not against the Chargers.
I'm going to try and find a way to get some exposure to some Jags passing game.
There you go.
2 weeks. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Let's see. Moving on to the running backs. So, let's see. Darius Geis, who Washington has the 12th easiest schedule, sort of middle of the pack. So that's the upside. The downside is that Adrian Peterson is just hanging around there. Miles Sanders, who has the 13th easiest schedule, or Kareem Hunt, who has the 14th easiest schedule. So they're all, you know, kind of stacked up one after another, but they're also guys who are sort of sharing opportunities in their respective backfields.
On the surface, I would say Miles Sanders, but is Jordan Howard going to be back in the next 3 weeks?
He's still not cleared for contact.
The Giants' defense, since they made that trade, they have been good against the run.
Leonard Williams, you can fault him for a lot of things. He's a decent runner.
He's been good against the run. I mean, like, Aaron Jones did diddly poo last week. They held David Montgomery to nothing. They held Zeke to, he was the RB23. That's not a good matchup for Sanders this week. But, I mean, volume is going to keep him in the lineup.
Out of these three, I like Miles Sanders by far. Jordan Howard has not been cleared for contact. I'm not entirely sure what's going on with this shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're
going to I agree with you. I think Sanders is the best of the, in terms of the three games. That week 16 game against the Cowboys might be for the division. We'll see. But
wild.
But, I mean, I'm playing Sanders this week. You know, don't get me wrong. That Giants defense has been tough against the run.
I'm just here for the Niners going 13-3, and one of the Cowboys and Eagles going 8-8, and then they
have getting to host a playoff game.
But you should want that. You should want to play the Cowboys in the first round of playoffs because you're going to crush them.
Yeah, but I'd rather them come west.
I don't make the rules.
I don't want it to be a Jarrow world.
I don't make the. But hey, who cares?
I guess if you like watching games on TV when they're right in front of you.
Yeah,
that's a place to be.
Exactly.
That's a place to be. You know what? I remember that the first year of the stadium, I remember them showing shots of folks in the stands, and like everybody's like staring up, watching the game on a bit. Like the game is literally like 100 feet in front of you, and you are sitting up staring at it on a television. I'm like, man, this welcome to the new millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. Let's see. Wide receiver. Debo Samuel, the Niners have the eighth easiest wide receiver schedule. James Washington, who apparently is the new hotness there in Pittsburgh for the time being, he's got the 11th best schedule. And then A.J. Brown, I mean, we've been talking about Ryan Tannehill and everything that he's done. Part of it has been sort of reigniting A.J. Brown this year. He's got the 11th best schedule. Is there one of those guys that stands out more than the other?
Again, I'll mention the Niners one is deceiving, though, because
Saints
and Marshawn Lattimore, and then you got Jalen Ramsey in week 16. I don't think they're going to put Jalen on Emmanuel Sanders. He's disappeared.
I mean,
Debo's been the playmaker in this offense.
Would they put Marshawn Lattimore on Debo.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like this is kind of deceiving a little bit. Atlanta's great, but other than that.
Yeah, I'm so mad at myself. I drafted Debo in so many leagues and then dropped him because, I mean, it just wasn't looking good. And then they traded for Emmanuel Sanders for him, and now he's just totally balling out, man. He is so good. So good.
Because I think for a while the Niners were sort of trying to force Dante Pettis into that role, and that obviously didn't.
Remember how good he was last year? Like, he had a stretch where he was just like bananas good.
I don't think, I mean, there's like no player, no fantasy relevant player fell off the face of the earth faster than Dante Pettis did this year.
That's,
I mean,
really
he
true.
Is no value now.
Just none. Yeah. I forget he's on the roster sometimes. I mean, what are we feeling about A.J. Brown? Because he was the guy that I took some deep shots at early in the season, and that Titan passing game under Marcus Mariota was zero. But with Ryan Tannehill, I mean, I'm not saying he's like super balling out, but he actually has some relevance nowadays.
Sure, Ryan Tannehill is just leaps and bounds better than Marcus Mariota, but the pass volume in this offense still just has not been there. I mean, in Tannehill's seven starts so far this year, he's only thrown over 30 attempts twice. You know, it's just there's not enough juice to go around for Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. Even though I think A.J. Brown is just going to be a superstar wide receiver. It's just there's not enough volume for us to project anything for fantasy.
I mean, but I feel like as long as Derrick Henry is there, this is still going to be a run in the offense.
Absolutely,
that guy is just a beast.
He absolutely.
He's a freaking monster.
He's a freaking man child.
Yeah, he is.
Jeez.
We always say, like, you saw him, right, when he was here.
We walked through before he got drafted. And
he's gy freaking Gannick. He's like Willie McGinnis.
If
he's just huge.
If I hadn't known who he was and you just came up to me and said, this is a pass rusher, I would have said, okay.
All right. If I played defense and I were playing the Titans, there would be multiple business decisions I would make. Derrick Henry running my way.
Man, you kidding?
My God.
That's insane. Tight end, because, you know, it's fun to, and masochistic to talk about tight ends. I mentioned some of these guys, right? So, Greg Olsen, I told you, has the sixth best schedule. Kyle Rudolph has the 10th best schedule. Hunter Henry has the 12th best schedule. I mean, Olsen, you know, we got to monitor his injury situation. Rudolph has just been on fire. Hunter Henry has been solid pretty much since he came back from injury. I feel like it's between Rudolph and Henry for me. And maybe
I'm probably going Henry though, because
probably.
I don't know when Adam Thielen's coming back, but when he does, that's inevitably going to put a dent into Rudolph's opportunities.
Right.
So I'm going to go with Hunter Henry here.
I'm with you on that.
I think it's pretty simple.
Yeah, Thielen.
Mm. Rudolph has been freaking.
He's been great.
He's been great. Though.
He's been great for about six, 7 weeks now. I mean, he's been outstanding.
Yeah,
but you're right. Whenever Adam Thielen comes back, and we have no idea when that is right now, then things maybe change a little.
Kyle Rudolph has 6 touchdowns in his last 6 games, and he's not seen more than 6 targets.
He's still on the waiver wire in leagues, man.
Man, I don't get that. I don't get that. I want to be in some of those leagues where Kyle Rudolph is on the waiver wire. So, all right. Okay, so on the flip side then, the guys who potentially are the biggest playoff traps, right? Like big-name guys that you would generally think about starting, whose schedules may have some roadblocks in them. So quarterback, you got Aaron Rodgers, who in the last couple weeks has sort of been okay, I guess. I don't know.
He was better than okay last week.
He's definitely better than okay last week. He's literally
become a matchup-based starter. That's what Aaron Rodgers is now.
But he's got the 10th hardest schedule. You got Dak Prescott.
He's got Washington, though, coming up. That's a great matchup. And is it really that hard? Okay, the Bears, okay, he crushes the Bears. Right? He makes the Bears his daddy. And then you're at Minnesota, and their defense has not been great against quarterbacks this year. So, again, I feel like maybe it's not that tough.
Okay, so then the other ones, though, Dak Prescott, who has been great all year long.
You bite your tongue.
He's been great all year long. He's got
the
seventh toughest schedule.
Yeah, I know. I got you.
And then Kirk Cousins, who I think I saw that for quarterbacks who have played, you know, the majority of their games are 12 games. He has the highest passer rating. He's like 113.
The two games that scare me for Dak this week against Chicago, and then in Philadelphia, because the Eagles are giving up 10 points a game to quarterbacks on their home field, and it's not like they played a bunch of nobodies there too.
Of these guys, I think Dak is maybe the worst over the next 3 weeks, but at the same time, like, I could see the Packers, you know, just destroying the Redskins this week and running the ball. I could also see them dominating the Bears at home.
Cousins is a guy that I can see people dropping.
Yeah.
If you are off this week, because he's got Detroit this week and they're phenomenal. But if you, that's a phenomenal matchup. But if you are off this week, he's got the Chargers on the road and they're tough. And then he's got a home game against Green Bay. So I can see if you want to try to block your opponent or maybe you're trying to pick somebody up to add depth someplace else. I could see actually cutting Cousins if you have a bye this week. This week, he's a great start.
Yeah, this week he's a fantastic start.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's getting smoked by, everybody. Hell, they've made Mitchell Trubisky look like he's actually good.
He looked like an MVP.
Very true, yeah.
Yeah. Running back, Joe Mixon, who has actually had a resurgence in the last few weeks. Okay, he's better, but he's got the seventh toughest schedule. Mark Ingram, who has the 13th toughest schedule, sort of middle of the road there. And Kenyon Drake, who has the sixth toughest schedule. Mixon at least has the benefit of having Andy Dalton back, which
Has the Dolphins.
Yeah.
He's got the Dolphins in week 16.
In week 15, you want nothing to do with him against the Patriots.
I wonder if the Cardinals are going to get Chase Edmonds more involved here. I know Kenyon Drake's kind of been their lead guy. He's got 15,
right.
He's got 15 or more touches in every single game he's played with the Cardinals this year, actually. But I wonder if they're going to get Edmonds more involved. We'll see what DJ's status is. I think of these three, that would be the one.
Drake is the guy that I think I'm most worried about, especially because that Cardinal defense can put them in a hole where it turns to Kyler Murray, mm-hmm. and he's got to throw the football.
What do you guys think of Mixon this week against Cleveland? I mean, no Myles Garrett, obviously. Home game, though, but...
Yeah.
Mixon this week. I mean, I didn't love him last week. He still had,
Mixon's a flex.
Yeah, Mixon.
17 points,
Mixon's
something like that.
Mixon's one of those guys you just put in your RB2 spot and you just hope he scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
Where we're at with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's fair. All right, wide receivers. Let's see. Stephon Diggs, eighth toughest schedule. I put Calvin Ridley. You could put Julio Jones here too, but I feel like Julio Jones is one of those guys that you're starting him anyway, but whatever. Wide receiver Falcons, because they've got the 10th toughest schedule. And then Cortland Sutton, who has the 12th toughest schedule and is also still sort of breaking in a rookie quarterback here. Sutton, who's been so great, I feel like he's sort of the avoid in this scenario.
I think pretty much everybody was off Sutton this past week. Drew Lock's first start, and
this guy just makes sick catches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just shows every week he's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer betting against Cortland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Ridley in here. I don't know. Maybe he's the one that I'd probably try to avoid the most, although he's been hot well. And, Diggs, this week, he should crush against Detroit. Then he's going to, end up facing Hayward against the Chargers and then Green Bay's, but that with those divisional games, though, you can never really tell.
Stephon Diggs' season has just been the ultimate
up and down
roller coaster ride
of
all time. I mean, we had such a good peak in the middle of the season. We had all those huge games with over 100 yards, and then it's just been total ping pong since then.
Yep.
All right. We'll finish this off with the tight ends. George Kittle, mentioned him with the fifth toughest schedule. Darren Waller, who, last week was really good, but had a lull in the middle of the season.
What's real sneaky, though? Hunter Renfro's absence here
has helped out.
Is going to continue to help out because he was their slot guy, and Derek Carr loves throwing to the interior, and that's where Darren Waller's mostly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so he's got the eighth toughest schedule, and then Zach Ertz, the ninth toughest schedule. He also is dealing with the Dallas Goedert resurgence.
This is a tough one, right, because he's dealing with the hamstring. He only had six targets this past week, and Goddard had more targets, and they play on Monday night. Does that give you guys any pause with Zach Ertz this week?
Not really. If I believe in him, I'm believing in him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting him.
Okay.
So Ertz has been really good against the Giants too. He dropped the touchdown this past week. He was not right against the Dolphins. Did not look comfortable.
Does that concern you that that's the same scenario on a Monday night?
Sure, at least, but I guess he has an extra day of rest too to kind of get this thing right.
Yeah.
Goddard is the biggest concern here because he's just been stealing, been stealing targets. And Alshon Jeffrey's back.
Right.
Quick update. This is from Pat Leonard at the New York Daily News. He says Evan Ingram expects to play.
Hey.
Evan Ingram says he expects to play this week. Against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, take that for what it's worth. But this is from the Giants beat writer from the New York Daily News. So we'll keep an eye on that. That'd be big. I don't know. Is that a statement about how he feels about Daniel Jones?
Eli's back. I got to come back and play.
I think I'm good. I can feel happy.
Let me stretch my foot out a little bit. It feels better.
I kid, but you know, something to keep an eye on over the next.
I'm trying to dig into that. I haven't heard from my source on him in a while. He's probably been hiding.
So, real quick before we wrap this up, few guys to whether or not we can part ways with them if you need some roster spots. If you got some dead spots on your roster, one Terry McLaurin, who has sort of vanished from our lives since
Marcus,
Dwayne Haskins.
Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me even more.
All right, so that seems like we can drop Terry McLaurin.
No.
Yeah, I cut him for James Washington. Yeah. I cut him in both the leagues I have him in.
Yeah. All right, you have.
Why?
To at this point?
Sonny Michel. The schedule's not bad. But Sonny Michel just doesn't seem to be a part of it.
Sonny Michel is going to have the biggest troll game of all time this week. He's going to get 25
against
carries.
The Chiefs are so bad against the run.
25 carries, 85 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, that's really
his longest gain will be 9 yards.
Sounds like a
but because everybody has given up on him.
Jonas Gray game.
This is when it's going to happen. Sonny Michel
is Jonas Gray.
He kind of is, except he hasn't like overslept and then gotten cut the following week.
Remember, was it he? Did he have 4 touchdowns or 3 against the Colts in that game?
It was 4.
4. I know that because I started Jonas Gray in that game.
Well, well done.
Smart. Because I had somebody, I can't remember who it was. Somebody was hurt, and it was like, nice. Oh, crap, I need to fill a slot. Jonas Gray! And then I beat a really good friend of mine, and he texted me a couple days later, and the text just said, you know, one day in the future, I'm going to walk up to you and punch you in the face, and when you ask why, I'm just going to say Jonas Gray. So, we talked about LeSean McCoy. You can cut him, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yep. This one's interesting.
Yeah, here's the one. And I put this in here because I just
there's
think
actually a couple of others, too, I can mention. But
Brandon Cooks. I mean, obviously, he went a long time injured. He was in concussion protocol. He's come back. And, I mean, he and Jared Goff have not been able to connect. Plus, we talked about Goff's schedule, the Rams' schedule down the stretch. It just doesn't look good. The ball, when it's in the air, it's going to Cooper Kupp. It's going to Robert Woods. It's going to the tight ends, whether it's Gerald Everett or Tyler Higbee. Brandon Cooks just has not really been a part of it. I mean, I know the ceiling, you know, when he's right and everything is going well, is really high, but it just he has been so much of a floor play for much of the season. It's hard.
The problem is, where does he, you know, score points for you? In the vertical attack, taking the top off of defense.
Jared Goff's
quarterback's playing terrible right now, and he's not throwing the ball deep. I'd cut him. If James Washington is out there, I'd cut him. I really don't see any issue with that at all. And there's a couple of names on here that you didn't put.
Okay.
David Johnson, I cut
him. Yeah, you can.
I picked up Darius Geis to pick him. I actually put it in a claim for Patrick Laird, too, which hurt my heart.
It's gotten so bad for DJ. His second touch in that game this past week came when they were down like 35 points.
Now, I got an interesting. Stupid. What about Matt Ryan for you guys? Okay, so.
You can say goodbye.
Matt Ryan, and I've seen Matt Ryan ranked pretty highly on some lists among quarterbacks. I have no freaking idea why. Like, Carolina, okay, whatever. But, like, he has not been able to take advantage of good matches all season long, and he's got a game against the Niners. Why would you want Matt Ryan? I'd rather have Fitzpatrick, Tannehill, and
Baker.
Yeah,
no, you can.
I could see Matt Ryan having a really good game this week, but I'm
going to by the way.
Schedule, yeah.
Somebody owes me lunch.
Did Cousins get a.
Yes, he did. Cousins actually had a better game than the point total because Stephon Diggs dropped a bunch of balls, and then the one that Cousins was intercepted. That was Diggs' fault because it was right in his hands. It popped out, and then the defender picked it off. So, but Matt Ryan, I don't trust him. I don't care.
No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you can't play him against the Niners on the road.
I'm fine.
Sure.
No, no.
Real quick, too, before we wrap up, another breaking news. Mike Chappell from Indianapolis. According to Frank Reich, Marlon Mack is practicing today, and there is a chance
he
plays on Sunday.
Nice.
So, well, that'll help some people. The matchup is god awful.
Not great.
But
not great. But but he's back on the field, so there you go.
Oh, what? Oh, okay.
What's up? Oh,
nothing. Okay. No.
All right. That's it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading as always. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, constipated people don't give a crap. See you on Friday.